This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Whoa, horsey.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The oil and the stock markets could be in for a rougher ride than Big Brown in the Belmont. Analysts say we're going to see violent swings in oil prices. Today, oil has dropped $3 to $135 a barrel. Friday, of course, it shot up $11 in one day to almost $140. Plus, a poll out this morning says most stock markets around the world will lose value this year. They just won't be able to withstand the lethal mix of inflation and the credit crunch. So far, a mix on Wall Street. The Dow is up 24 points to 12,234, but the NASDAQ has dropped 21 already. The S&P 500 is flat. In Asia today, the stock markets fell about 2%. In Europe, bank shares got pummeled, but energy stocks went way up. They're offsetting each other, and the European markets are pretty flat. On to the banks now. Lehman Brothers says it expects to lose nearly $3 billion in the second quarter. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
It may be losing a few billion, but Lehman Brothers says it's raising $6 billion in capital from various investors. And that's not all, says banking consultant Bert Ely. The firm is making efforts on multiple fronts.
Increasing their liquidity, trimming the size of their balance sheet, and also reducing their leverage. All of these are steps that are being taken to prevent Lehman from becoming another Bear Stearns.
Talking of Bear Stearns, some have speculated that Lehman may be readying itself for a sale. Benjamin Wallace of Grimes & Company says that could be the case.
Right now, the market cap's about $18 billion for a large financial institution. That's not quite bite-sized, but it's definitely a doable deal.
He says there are a few large banks that would be interested in acquiring it. Still, he says, the fact that Lehman is actively raising billions in capital makes a buyout by one of its larger rivals less likely. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Let's dig a little deeper now on what's going on with these banks.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. We've heard several times how the financial sector is almost out of the woods. Then the banks report new losses like Lehman and need another batch of money. What's your sense about where the banks are right now?
See, I don't think they are anywhere close to getting out of the woods. And every time I hear someone saying, well, it's in the seventh inning, it's in the sixth inning, I keep thinking, well, it may be a 16-inning game. You know, the same problems are still there. And until the system is purged of the problems, there's no reason to think they've gone away.
Well, the banks have been raising billions of dollars in capital for months now, and some of them are coming back asking for more. Where is all this money going?
Off the top of my head, I would say the banks and investment banks have raised something on the order of $250 billion, which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the problems, I think, have been worse than they thought. They keep continuing. And you've seen in the U.S. any number of institutions saying, we think everything is fine, here are our losses, but there won't be any more. And then in the next calendar quarter, they come back with more losses. And that's cost a bunch of these guys their jobs. People, I guess, who run institutions are naturally optimists, unlike journalists. And they kept thinking they had a handle on it, and they didn't. And after the second or third time that it turns out that an institution does not have a handle on its own finances, the people sit around and say, wait a minute, if we don't understand what's going on in our institution, how do we know what's going on in any other institution? And how do we know that we can trust them? Because we're not even sure we can trust ourselves.
Right. And the business that banks do, one of the main ones, is making loans, and they're not doing that. What is it going to take to get the banks lending again?
It's going to take the banks deciding that they have reached the bottom. The banks have raised, as I said, $250 billion, and it's as if it all disappears. I mean, sooner or later, the thing is going to work out, and things will turn around, but I don't know when that is, and I know that nobody knows when it is. But other than that, everything is fine.
All right. Thanks, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine.
My pleasure, Scott.
This is the Morning Report for Monday, June 9th on Marketplace.org. Ministers from the Group of Eight countries met in Japan yesterday. They expressed serious concern about the rising price of oil, but they appear powerless to do anything about it. Stephen Beard has more.
The G8 leaders urged the oil producers to pump more crude, but they stopped short of adopting the tough talk of the Australian Prime Minister. He said at the weekend the G8 should take a blowtorch to OPEC. In the end, the meeting put more emphasis on cutting demand. It called for greater energy efficiency among the consuming nations. But, says energy analyst Julian Lee, the problem is that most of the rise in demand is in emerging economies like China and India, where fuel prices are heavily subsidized.
Consumers are not getting the sort of price signals that we're getting in the developed world that say prices are rising, prices are high, we need to cut back on consumption.
The Chinese and the Indians who were represented at the meeting showed no willingness to lift their subsidies soon. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Iraqi refugees who used to work for U.S. interests in Iraq can end up sitting ducks in their own country. Many have been killed. Those lucky enough to survive often have a hard time getting work. But today in Washington, there's a workshop to help these Iraqis find jobs. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Experience. Spotting terrorists, avoiding suicide bombers, escaping from kidnappers. Iraqi refugees have impressive resumes. They've helped Americans do business against a dangerous backdrop. But in the U.S., their skills can get lost in translation. Kirk Johnson founded the List Project to resettle Iraqi allies. Today, his group, along with another nonprofit and Manpower Inc., will teach refugees how to write resumes and network here. Johnson says Iraqis need tips on how to communicate U.S. style.
Sometimes they'll come on too strong, for example, and they'll find someone who might be interested, and then they'll email them day after day after day after day, you know?
The refugees will also have a meet and greet with potential employers. The List Project has helped at least 100 Iraqis who worked with the U.S. in Iraq to resettle here. At least 1,000 more are hoping to get in. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
President Bush is in Europe this week for his last official visit there. Bush will face many questions about the economy. It's become a pretty touchy subject between Europe and the U.S. Marketplace's Bob Moon reports.
The credit crisis had barely begun when French President Sarkozy addressed the U.S. Congress through an interpreter last fall.
The America that I love is the one that encourages entrepreneurs, not speculators.
Now there are estimates that European banks have suffered even more than their American counterparts from speculation in subprime loans that were made in and exported by the U.S. Robert Shapiro was a Commerce Undersecretary in the Clinton administration. He says tighter U.S. banking regulation remains high on the European wish list, but they know it'll probably have to wait.
European leaders understand, as well as Americans do, that a president with a 30% approval rating is a unlikely to be able to achieve any significant legislative changes in an election year.
Bush is also expected to talk about helping poor countries deal with soaring food prices, but Shapiro says the Europeans aren't likely to pressure Bush on U.S. farm subsidies since they've been protective of their own subsidies. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Walmart just might take over the music business. The Wall Street Journal says another major band has signed a deal with Walmart, AC/DC. The band will only sell its new album through Walmart stores, just like Garth Brooks, The Eagles, and Journey have done. AC/DC still isn't allowed or available on iTunes. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.